If you're not doing your back-to-school shopping at Amazon.com, you'd be the biggest Fruit Loop dingus in shopping history. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast when you start your shopping at robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's the guy who takes 36 minutes to do his makeup, Rob Sesternino. Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Wednesday night recap of Big Brother 16. We are live here on Wednesday night, August 6th, to talk about Big Brother 16. And it is a night before the double eviction, before all hell breaks loose in the Big Brother house, and we have a lot to talk about. First, let me bring in our live feed correspondent. Here he is, Mr. Brian Lynch. Brian, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing amazingly well. How are you, Rob?
I'm doing fantastic. We are scheduled to have Spencer Clawson with us. We were having some issues. Google Hangout is being a bit of a Fruit Loop dingus tonight, so we're trying to get everything straightened out with Spencer. As soon as we can get him connected, we will go ahead and bring him in. But I know there's a lot of people waiting for the show to come on and are here with us live, so we wanted to go ahead and get the ball rolling because people are ready to talk about Big Brother tonight, Brian.
I'm ready to talk about Big Brother, too.
Yes.
Look forward to Spencer showing up midstream.
Good. Well, we'll talk with Spencer, and he is a great guest to talk about Big Brother with. He follows everything very closely, so we'll get him on in just a little bit. But our top story at this hour, it was a real meltdown for the Zach attack tonight. It was a self-induced Zach attack.
Yeah, I mean, he did have the votes, but his actions turned Christine against him, at least, and she seems to have sunk Zach's ship and possibly hers in the process.
Yeah, a lot to get to tonight as we sort of try to unpack what's going on with Christine and with Zach and, of course, everything going on with the live feeds. And don't forget, it's not one, but two evictions are coming tomorrow. Some news at this hour. In the last couple days, they announced that Big Brother, which was scheduled to end on September 17th, is now pushed back all the way to Wednesday, September 24th. So still a good 7 or 8 weeks to go in the Big Brother game, Brian.
Yes, and that has caused a lot of speculation about what possible twists we may be waiting on.
They said it was going to be the twistiest summer ever. And it has not been that twisty.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the marketing of twistiness.
Yeah. For whatever research they've done on CBS, it says that we are looking at the research, we're looking at the numbers, the people want to hear more about twists. That's what our market research is showing us. The people want twists, we must give that to them.
Do people want twists? I don't want twists.
Yes.
I want twistless.
Yes. So we'll see exactly what happens with the twists over the next couple of weeks. So I guess let me just set up the show that we are live here. We've got the chat room going on. Rob is a podcast. We use the Twitter hashtag RHAP, and then you can also go on our YouTube channel at robhasawebsite.com/YouTube and post your questions. Scott St. Pierre, in addition to working on getting Spencer connected, is also monitoring everything in your chat. So we will go ahead and have everybody's questions with us later on in the show. Okay? So, yep. Brian, let's get into it, and let's talk about the Christine plan here. And again, without going too much into the live feeds, take us through Christine's thought process, because I feel like tonight was sort of a inflection point in Christine's game and Christine's perception, where I know a lot of the live feeders have been anti-Christine and been tweeting about her for weeks, but I think tonight was the night that she took a villain turn on the TV show.
Yes, in her mind, she believes by Zach nominating her, even though she wasn't the target, that Zach has to be her target from this point on. So I haven't seen her delineate from that, other than the moments on tonight's show when she suggested that she wanted to keep Zach, and I misread that on the feeds.
Yeah. So going into just Christine's thought process, Brian, would you say that is Christine the biggest villain in the house?
I would it would be between her and Derek for sure.
Yeah, because I think she's fighting a war.
She is.
She's fighting a war on several fronts here, where she is taking on the Zach Attack fan base really head on with her taunting diary room sessions, which, you know, is one thing, but it seems mean-spirited what she's doing in the diary room.
Well, the taunting is one thing, but when she says about his comic book that Zach wouldn't protect his brother, I mean, she has to know that that's a lie, and if she knows that that's a lie, then she's lying to us.
Yeah, that seems like a fair statement. Also, the other front, which I think she's fighting a losing battle, at least with the audience, is where she is going and telling Nicole that Hayden made out with Victoria, and which is a bold-faced lie, to try to break up the only showmance that we have going this summer.
Yes, and that's really sunk her ship with them.
Yes. So
she's like firmly wedged right in the middle with Frankie at this point.
Yeah. She's burning a lot of bridges in the Big Brother house, and that's never the right way to go.
There are no bridges left in the Big Brother house when it comes to Christine.
Yeah. And Christine, of course, she was my pick in the game. I thought she was going to be a real player, but now she's really going to have her work cut out for her here. Brian, what are the chances that Christine is the one to go home in the double eviction tomorrow?
Well, they would be pretty good. I've seen some things. People are already talking about nominated or not, to get too much into spoilers, but I mean, the chances are really good that she would go home.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll talk about that as we get towards the spoiler portion of the show. So, Brian, I have so many questions that involve the spoilers. Let me just talk about the things from the episode real quick. I thought that we had some interesting strategy talk between Nicole and Frankie in bed, where Nicole is not the greatest liar in the game, Brian.
Well, no, but I mean, did Frankie pick up on anything she was saying? Frankie's oblivious to it.
Yeah. He said, no, he didn't really say anything, but just the way that, you know, he's asking her questions, and I feel like maybe I'm just watching too much reality TV, but I feel like anytime anybody sort of like has a hesitation where it's like, if I'm asking you, Brian, ask me, who I want to go home this week. Ask me who my target is.
Rob, who would you nominate for eviction?
I don't know. I got to think about it. I got to, you know, everybody knows who they're going to nominate, right? At least one person, right? You got to have a target.
Well, she should know because she was HOH and already nominated people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. So, I you know, for whatever reason, it has not, you know, nobody has really picked up on it as far as Derek and Frankie goes, as far as the TV show goes. But, you know, I feel like people need to be like ready with an answer on these things.
Well, I mean, sometimes they get blindsided with things they weren't expecting. So, I mean, I guess you have to brainstorm every possible situation to have all your bases covered.
Yeah, it's tough also in the Big Brother house, because if you say like, oh, yeah, Donnie is my target, that's my guy. And so if she just makes up a lie also, then Frankie's like, Donnie, guess what? Nicole's targeting you. He's like, what? Why would she do that to me? I like Nicole. So it's a very slippery slope in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, what Derek does in those situations is says, I don't really know, but I would definitely nominate Victoria. And then he just assumes that he'll be able to spin that to Victoria.
Yes, yes. As anybody can spin anything to Victoria.
Yes, and especially him. I mean, anybody can spin. I don't know. He will unspin anything you spin to Victoria.
Yeah. We'll talk more about Derek. Actually, let's talk about Derek now. Let's talk about the Rationale Alliance, which we talked about in our live feed segment on Sunday night. With the Rationale consists of, it is Derek, it is Cody, it is Hayden, and it is Nicole. Okay, so Derek really tonight was between two alliances. Do I want to go with the Detonators, or do I want to go with Rationale, which, again, not a great name.
Yeah, and he seemed to choose neither, that he wanted to stick with Cody right in the center and chipping off parts of both sides along the way.
Okay, so they're going to have a big decision to make. One is going to have to go away for the other one to live.
Yeah, well, no, they're going to... They're just killing all alliances. You know, I mean, Derek said it in his DR today, that the Detonators are not loyal.
Yeah. That is,
and so this other alliance will not be either.
Yeah. I don't even understand why it's called the Rationale. Like, if anything, what about the Rationals?
Or the Irrationale.
Yeah. Or what about the Rationales Floaters?
There are a whole lot of floaters. I mean, technically, every single one of the Detonators except for Zach floated this week.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about Christine's push. Okay, so she goes and talks with Nicole, and she's really trying to, you know, she's pushing that she really wants Zach to go. She then tells Nicole that Hayden and Victoria are tight, and she is disgusted because Zach told her that Hayden and Victoria kissed. This is a pretty low thing for Christine to have done.
Plus, it's pretty stupid, right? Like, it's a pretty... She says, oh, that she was disgusted, but Zach told her about it, who she's been saying, who's telling all these lies and trying to pit everybody against each other. But now Zach's supposed to be telling the truth about this? It doesn't make sense to me. And it didn't make sense to Nicole and Hayden either.
Yeah, it really was not a well thought out plan. And yeah, it gets Nicole mad at Victoria, if anything, or then drives, it's going to drive a wedge between Hayden and Nicole. But I don't know. A kiss seems like a lot. Like, she might have been better off to say, Victoria told Zach she has a crush on Hayden. And then that's harder to prove. Hayden can't deny that. I think that maybe drives a little bit more of a subtle wedge as opposed to that they kissed. Come on.
I don't know why you would want to get up in the middle of somebody's show, man, actually.
Yeah, not good.
That's just bad news.
Yeah, that's not good. Okay, so also at the same time, Christine is, really trying to work over the Detonators with this plan to get Zach out, because at this point in time, nobody in the Detonators knows Christine wants Zach out.
Yes, and this is when Christine comes up with a bright idea of saying that Nicole might have to nominate Cody or...
I'm actually in it.
Hold on. Look who's here, everybody. We just got a surprise announcement at the front door. Here he is. It's Spencer.
Oh, what's up? Not much of a surprise. I appreciate it. Thanks for your patience.
Oh, no.
I had to log in from a crate, Gmail. I don't know what's up.
Oh, no. Oh, good. Well, at least you're not purple like McCrae. I don't know what happened. I told you that Google Hangout is being a Fruit Loop dingus.
It is. Well, we were talking, kind of. I joined the link, and then all of a sudden, it was just like curtain fell, and that was it. So I don't know what happened. Anyway, what have I missed? I'm so sorry. Brian, what's up, dude?
What's up, Spencer, man? Good to see you.
Okay, so
good to see you too, friend.
Good. Well, great to have you, Spencer. We were just talking about a couple of the highlights from the episode before we got into getting your take on everything. So we were just talking about overall some of the things that Christine was responsible for. And I was asking Brian if he thought that tonight was the night Christine officially became the villain of Big Brother 16. What's your take on that?
Yeah, absolutely. they're trying so hard to build a Nicole Hayden relationship, similar to kind of like a John Netta from last season. They can't put a whole lot of kissing. They're more kissing than John and Netta did. But, yeah, any kind of a wedge in there to tear up, you know, this Prince Charming and this princess is going to – they're going to paint her as the villain. And that's exactly – that's how I feel it's going. Brian, what do you think? You agree with me?
Oh, yeah, definitely. She was trying to rip them apart, trying to, you know, separate Victoria from that group as well. And she just stuck her nose in the wrong business, and it blew up in her face.
Sure. This cast is so likable that before our only villain was, like, Devin, and he was – I mean, he was fun. I mean, he was at least entertaining. So now, I mean, they're kind of grasping at straws to make Christine, who – I don't know if y'all remember when the house guests were announced, dude. She was fan favorite. You know, people loved her. People loved Christine. She was big preseason. And it's odd that she's taking the villain turn. I kind of hate it. It's just based on her one strategic move of trying to separate Nicole from Hayden, which she should have been doing that the whole game, just with her relationship with Nicole that she's let slide.
But Spencer, even before tonight, I've seen on the live feeds, a lot of people have been attacking Christine all season mm-hmm. long. What is it about her exactly that has really made people have bad feelings towards her?
Inside the house or outside the house, Rob?
Inside the house.
Inside the house.
I mean Christine's behavior inside the house, but the Twitterverse and all the people online, why have they really soured on Christine, in your opinion?
You know, I'm not sure. I think basically that there's been more personalities developed. She's rather flat. I don't want to say she's not boring or anything like that. I mean, she's trying to play a smart game, but I think that her relationship with Frankie has hurt her. Inside the house, of course, and outside the house, maybe just because of the way she's kind of started the breaking up with Zanky. You know, I think that might have something to do with it. But you know, I don't know. I think, Rob, it's like kind of what we introed with this. You need a villain, and Christine has made a couple of moves here lately, not knowing how popular Zach is outside the house, and not knowing how popular Hey Cole is outside the house. And it's kind of cost her some popularity.
Okay, let's talk about Zach, because I've found, you know, people who have contacted me, the people on the street, I'd say it's probably about 75% of the overall people who I've talked to or have been tweeting to me are upset Zach could potentially go home on Thursday night. Sure, there are people who don't like Zach and are happy if he goes home. So what is your read on Zach? Are you a Zach fan?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm Zach Attack all the way. I like Zach because he's entertaining. He is proven to show – he's showing that an entertaining game is not necessarily a great game in the house strategically, but he's been fun to watch. I mean, I like him. I see a lot of myself in him, a lot of similar personality traits. It's just as he's a relaxed dude, goofing around all the time, having fun. And, you know, I think that he's gone in there and he's honestly, if you think about this, Rob, he's played to define the game. He is like, this is what I'm doing. It may not work, but your boy Zach's going to try it. And you got to give him that because, I mean, you know, these shows a lot of time aren't necessarily about winning it. It's about winning people over. And Zach Attack has done that. He's won a lot of people over. And, you know, major props to him for that.
Now, I'm
Zach. I'm on board.
Yes. We all are. We all three of us. We're all big Zach fans. But let me just ask you a devil's advocate question. Why do we, and most of the viewing audience, why do we like it when Zach is obnoxious in the diary room? But on a night like tonight, when Christine is obnoxious in the diary room, we boo and hiss and hate Christine. What is the difference?
You know, I don't want to say something as socially aware as there's a double standard at play. But, you know, at the same time, like, Zach, over the past few episodes, has developed into a really likable character. I mean, he may be polarizing, but I think overall he's very likable. I think people are enjoying him. And so when Christine kind of crawls out from under her rock and gives Zach a hug and wants him to leave and that kind of stuff, you know, it really comes across as like, now she's just being hateful. But Zach before, you're like, he's playing his game. He's just being a jerk. So I think it's really apples and oranges. It's not necessarily just snarkiness in the DR.
Well, like, for instance, why did the viewers hate Amanda last season but are really enjoying Zach? I mean, what is the difference? Like, if Amanda was calling Alyssa a Fruit Loop dingus, or if she was making up silly words, would that have changed anything? Or is it hard for a woman to play the game and not be, play it in a way that is obnoxious in the way that Zach is, but that it's not something that is redeeming for a woman?
Sure. And, you know, it's really hard to touch on that without mentioning, you know, popular headlines of the glass ceiling and war on women and this kind of thing. And there is a double standard. I mean, like, I'm going to say an ugly word, but bitch, okay? That is a thing that people can act like, and it's off-putting to others, and other people think it's hysterical, okay? Like, that is a, it's an odd line. Why did America hate Amanda? You know, they didn't at first. It was, there's a climate outside of Big Brother 15 that I think prepped the audience to hate everybody in that house, and it just kind of snowballed all season. Whereas this season, everybody's really pretty likable. They're pretty PG-13, and they're fairly likable. So there's not people hated Amanda with a seething passion. Zach is likable. Zach is fun. Zach rides that fine line, and I think it's because he's letting it be his game. He's defining it. This is what I'm trying to do. I'm the wild card jerk, you know. And, maybe since he's saying that outright, people accept it. I think that Amanda had too many strikes against her for, like, a strategic move tormenting Alyssa so that she would not put Andy on the block. That got seen as bullying and all this other stuff just because, there are things that mirror social situations outside the house that are inside the house that are really more strategic or game-oriented than they are perceived.
Yeah. I think it might be more complicated than just men versus women. I don't mean to put you on the spot, Spencer,
sure.
Because there's people
No, not at all. It's touchy, though. It's touchy because, it's not fair. It's not fair that Amanda plays a harsh game and people call her a bitch or people call her bad names or people call her this and hater, whereas Zach plays a very entertaining game and it's fun. And it's not so much different than some of the antics that Amanda or past house guests have pulled, but he gets away with it. I don't know. I think it's climate. It's a lot to do with climate and the way the other house guests take it.
I think it's also going back to somebody like Janelle, who would do things and, like, tell off the nerd herd. I think it depends on if you are being rude to a person we like, then you're a bitch or you're a jerk. And if you're being rude to somebody that we don't really care for, then you're a hero. So
exactly,
it's complicated. It's a complicated issue.
Exactly, it's evil Dick Vernon Chin with the cigarette.
Yeah,
I mean, like, think about, oh my God, if I'd done that to Alyssa last year, I would be probably on death row right now. I mean, like, that's just like they would I would have been sentenced and been waiting for my lethal injection. But, you know, people are like, yeah, go Dick, go, you know, and they're like rooting him on. And, you know, it's just kind of one of those. It's an odd thing that some people get the pass and other people don't.
Yeah. I thought they had a really great veto competition tonight with the comic books. I thought that was really, really fun. And all of the artwork was really cool. A lot of it was on Entertainment Weekly and a couple different websites today to go see it. Spencer, you had to thought about this. If they did this last season, what would your superhero name be?
Oh, I thought about this. I would have been really embarrassed with like a blob or something. I don't know.
Blob.
I mean, I was a little heavier. I don't know. I probably would have gotten the beard. I would have got the Donnie cover. It would have been something similar to that. I can't imagine. I was super jealous though. Those were some Marvel, DC, and I think like a Red Anvil comic artist that drew on those, and I think that was fantastic. Playing right in with the San Diego Comic Con just wrapped up. I mean, it was very, very timely and appropriate. Great competition by production.
Okay.
So,
what about some of your other BB15 house guests? What superheroes would they be? How about your buddy McCray? What would he be?
He would be like super narcolepsy man. He would just be, hey, there's something going on, and he'd, you know, recover him, just be under the sheet somewhere.
All right. What about Andy? What would he be?
Andy. Andy would have been like more transparent floating vapor. that floated over everybody, almost like Mr. Burns when he gets nuclear and Homer thinks he sees a ghost. You know, that would have been Andy. He'd have been like floating over everybody saying, I'm the best player ever.
Yeah.
The best Big Brother player ever. So
I think that Rat, you need to work in there too. He has like powers of a rat. Yeah.
Oh, like the Rat King. The rat
or the
king,
Rat
yeah.
Floater, I think. That's probably probably ideal.
Rat Floater.
What about Gina Marie?
Gina Marie, she would just be like the indestructible woman. You know, as many injuries as she got and bounced back, and now she blew her knee out, but she's going to be fine and stuff. We always teased that she would be like a good Super Dave Osborne type character, okay. Where she was in this pink velour suit and she kept getting hurt.
All right. Spencer, let's talk about Derek's game a little bit. And okay. Brian and I set the table here with the Derek discussion of, we talked about him being stuck in between whether or not he wants to go with the detonators or whether or not he wants to go and explore the rationale and which side that he wants to go on. Without getting into the spoilers and what he ultimately is going to decide to do for people who aren't following the live feeds,
okay.
Just from a neutral perspective, could you sort of go through those two decisions? And what do you think in your mind is the right strategic decision for Derek and Cody this week?
Well, what you're laying out right there is really a perfect scenario of a floater. So Mitch trying to decide between alliances, kind of play in the middle. That's what Derek and Cody are doing. I think that the game is getting ready to go into the second phase, the middle phase. There's kind of a beginning, middle, and end of the game. Going into the middle with two very rational people.
Rationale,
that are playing a smart game, is a very good move on one hand, but you also have, I'm pulling away from allegiance with another alliance, which causes rifts, which also can cause trouble for your game, especially where there's people on that side with the detonators that you would be possibly getting away from that could detonate your own game. Now, with staying, you've got Frankie and Christine, who are super tight, who are going to be targets in their own right. And you can kind of see, they're kind of seeing the handwriting on the wall as far as where the detonators are going. They can kind of see it starting to crumble. Honestly, I can't be devil's advocate enough for a good reason to stay with the detonators going into this phase of the game. That's where I'm at with Derek's game on that decision.
You know, it's a tough decision because, you know, you have Zach, who's such a loose cannon in the game and so hard to control, but mm-hmm. he's also fiercely loyal. And if you're the guys in the detonators, he wants to stick with them. Brian, right? Is Zach going anywhere besides with the detonators?
It didn't appear to be any way other than that.
Yeah.
No. And he can't even suggest other than that at this point in his game. On the block, try to keep those numbers. He can't even make another suggestion. Zach is not loyal. No, I don't think anybody feels that Zach, his highest attribute is loyalty. I think his best attribute right now is a number, and that's why there's a decision of whether or not that number is necessarily important right now. So I think that his wild card game has almost played against him within his own alliance. But he's been set up by the Team America stuff and things like that. So,
but he's such a distraction also. And I feel like if you're a guy like Derek, don't you want to have that sort of diversion in the house where people are just like constantly thinking about what Zach's doing as opposed to thinking, boy, you know who's really running the house? I think Derek is really running things.
Rob, I don't think that right now a distraction is necessary just because of what Zach does know and where things could go with Frankie potentially if the detonator split where the numbers would lie. And it might be harder for Derek and Cody to get away from it at some point in the future. Zach's played himself into an odd position. He's a wild card, yes, and he's a distraction, yes, but is he a threat? No, I don't think especially his performance in that last competition. You've got people like Caleb. He's got, Derek has enough people to throw under the bus to keep he and Cody safe for a while without Zach in there. I don't think Zach's necessarily that important for that reason.
Is there any advantage that you could see strategically to getting rid of Jocasta this week? Because I was thinking about this earlier tonight. If Zach goes home this week, I think Jocasta and Victoria, pencil them in for the final six. When are they ever getting voted out?
Yeah. No, I agree. I think Victoria is probably going to get the final. I hate to predict something so far out, but I think that she's in everybody's mind for like final two deals. You know what I'm saying? Because she hadn't done anything. So like people will get her to the final 6-5-4, like you said, because she's a good person to sit against in the final two. I think Derek's got that in his mind. I think he's probably going to keep working that. So we should see that strategically. Derek needs to be more afraid of Jocasta than he is. She's smart. If she gets power, especially like, what if she wins this double eviction? What if she, and she's still around? Well, what if she were to win HOH? Who would she put up like that? I've got a clue, but I can't say for sure. I know that she's had targets in the past that, I think that Derek and Cody might be in some trouble there. They should at least be sweating. I don't know. Strategically for that one move, yes, that's why Jocasta would be important to get rid of. But I think if they can skate that, they can control her through Donnie. If they got a whole week to play with as far as mind control.
Is Jocasta loyal to anybody in the house? Is she in anybody's pocket?
I believe her to be loyal to Donnie completely. Brian, have you seen anything to indicate otherwise than that? After he used that veto on her, I think that he's pretty – I think that Jocasta and Donnie are pretty tight. Other than that, I mean, her alliance with Jesus is all she's got.
Yes.
Yeah, so you would think that if she won head of household that Donnie would be in her ear the most. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Brian, can I ask you also, where is Donnie in all this this week? Obviously, he wants Jocasta to stay in the house over Zach, but is Donnie, all systems go to want to get Zach out of the house?
He's not. I don't feel like that he's like leading the charge, but he's not doing anything to stop it. Plus, he knows it's happening, and he's not telling Zach, so... He's just as culpable as everyone else.
Okay. All right. Scott, when you have some questions up, I want to start to get into some questions with Spencer here tonight. And let me see. After Christine won the veto, I thought it was pretty interesting that she came back and, the detonators have a meeting. And Christine says, boy, I'm going to have to convince Nicole that it's okay for Zach to stay in the house this week. And Zach is on his knees groveling. Oh, Christine, I love you so much. And she's like, or he says to her, whatever you want. Whatever you want, Christine, mm-hmm. It's yours. Yeah. She says, final five. And do you think, is Christine laying it on too thick, Spencer? Or is that what she has to do?
Okay, Zach is in almost like an odd euphoric moment, thinking that he might have some help there. So I think as long as she says the right words, his excitement will ignore the lack of emotion behind them. So, yeah, I mean, it's kind of the right thing to say, pacify him. It's all part of this blind side. It's kind of like Operation Brittany all over again. And, it was the right thing to say at the time. We picked it up. And I'm sure Frankie and some other people in the room felt it was, not wholehearted, of course, but that was the right thing to say to Zach at the time, I feel like.
Okay. And then
as opposed to planting doubt and making him act erratic,
Okay. So when
she's scared of Zach.
Yeah. As she should be. And I was just thinking about this tonight. What do you think Zach is going to say when he sees these episodes?
He should be proud in a way. I mean, he got bit like everybody gets bit, but he's played a good, entertaining game, and people like him. I think that he'll be mad at Christine, obviously, and I think that he'll be maddest at Frankie. I think that the way Frankie's acting the DR about their alliance, I think, will kind of upset him a bit, just because of the Frankie wasn't wholeheartedly in it. And I honestly think that Zach and Frankie could have been. Nobody will ever have the dynasty of Chilltown, but they could have been a very strong alliance if Frankie had been loyal to Zach the way Zach was to Frankie.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a sad thing that happened there. There's not as much loyalty.
Just to touch on the veto speech. So Zach gets up, he makes his plea to Christine, and he says, gets right up and says, Grasshopper walks into a bar. He says, the bartender says, hey, Grasshopper, we have a drink named after you. The Grasshopper says, you have a drink named Bill? sits back down. What did you think about that as a veto speech?
You know, he thinks he's safe. Do you know where that rooted in? Christine laughed hysterically, said that was like the funniest joke. She always laughs at it. It's not that funny, but it's, you know, Christine.
Is it an inside joke?
No, it's not an inside joke. It's, you know, there's a drink called a grasshopper.
No, I got it.
Grasshopper's like, yeah, okay. But, like, she just thinks it's funny, and, like, they were all laughing about it, how it wasn't funny. And, anyway, he used that to make her laugh. It was just kind of like relationship building there in a way. Was it a good veto speech? Absolutely not. But, no matter what he said, would have worked. So it was really just as good as anything.
But if the veto speech doesn't matter, is that a good way to go?
If the veto speech doesn't matter, you need to look like, if you are worried at all, you need to look like you're there to play.
Got
to
take it serious.
You're trying to appeal to. Yes, you're trying to play with the people you're trying to appeal to, and just kind of leave it alone. Short and sweet. It's not a TV moment necessarily. It's really an intimate game moment where you say, listen, I'm really glad to be here. Y'all know that I may have made some screw ups, and I may have made some deals that went awry. But I'm here to set things straight, and you know who I'm loyal to, and I'm ready to go. You got me. And
hey, Spencer, that's not fair for you to compare with these other people that haven't been on the block 8 times. you're the expert on this. You can't hold them to the same standard.
Yeah, I know. I try not to. I keep that in mind. Thank you for grounding me, Rob.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're on another level than everybody else. Okay. Let's take some questions, then we'll get into talking about the live feeds and specifics about what's going to go down tomorrow. Okay. Let's take a couple questions here. Let's start with Evil Roy Slade, who says, why do so many people need to vilify their target as a way to convince others to vote them out? Is it just easier than establishing other reasons? Worse yet, why does it continue when they are gone? And I know that was something that people complained a lot with Big Brother 15, where, you know, people get like, the target who's going out, then people start to talk bad about them. And then even after they're gone, they continue to talk bad about them. Why does that happen just from a behavioral perspective, Spencer?
Let me start from... beginning of the question. When somebody gets on the block and they become being vilified for personal reasons, a lot of times it's because you want to say, you know, Rob, between me and you, Brian's the sorry son of a bitch I've ever seen in my life. He's dirty. He pisses all over the toilet seat. He doesn't pick up after himself. He drinks all the chocolate milk. Because you don't want to say, his game is going this direction and it could really screw up mine if it continues in this direction. You want to keep a lot of game out of it sometimes. And it's a lot easier when you're in a miserable situation, you've been on slop, you're high, you're tired, you're homesick, to want to get rid of the person that's annoying the hell out of you, even if it makes a lot of sense to the game or not. So if you just point things out like that out, that can really help your cause, because people are like, yeah, they don't really play them. And like, you got to look at like a game with a bunch of recruits. They don't have much long-term game. So somebody leaving is just as good as somebody else as long as it's not them. And then let's take it when they leave the house, how they're vilified, and talk bad about. Absolutely. That was a problem in Big Brother 15. The thing is, when you're in that heated environment, you can't talk about the people as they're there, because it would destroy your game. It would, screw things up. So it's almost like a pressure valve is released sometimes. And with no outside stimulus or entertainment, sometimes, and last year it absolutely did get taken, really too far. We've all kind of talked about that since it's been over with and done with. But it's kind of understood that in that pressure cooker, there's nothing to talk about. There's no TV. You can't hate, Justin Bieber. You don't know what else is going on. And so you just hate that SOB that walked out the door, and you hate him with a seething passion, because the real person you hate is in front of you, and you can't take that anger out on them or expose your game. And, Big Brother 15, people, that $500,000 was going to be life-changing money to us, and we got to where we hated each other, okay? These people are not playing that intensely. We got just cutthroat, Lord of the Flies intense. I mean, it was wild, absolutely. And these guys are playing a little bit more civil game, so What do you think?
No, I think you hit the nail on the head. I mean, I know that we went through it with Survivor too, where it's like, you know, you have nothing else to talk about, and it's also sort of like a shared, you know, joke of going back to your example of Brian that good thing we don't have any chocolate milk here because otherwise Brian would have drank it. You know, mm-hmm. You just like have something that you can just keep going back to and just keep talking about because there's really, you know, nothing else to talk about. And maybe you're kind of scared to go into another, you know, avenue of conversation because you don't know where it could go. But if you stay on this established thing, this is something we have in common. It's a way to stay close with people.
Mm-hmm, sure. And another thing, Rob, is go back to like Sun Tzu, Art of War, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. If me and you aren't aligned, but we both hate Brian, then we've got something in common. And if I can make sure that you know I hate Brian any chance I get, you'll know that when you get ready to get him out, I'll be there with you. And that's just a huge part of social human interaction, man. It has nothing to do with a hateful jerk trying to win money. It's just how life is done. You know, it's just not necessarily viewed all the time.
Brian, you believe all this?
Yeah, well, y'all should have got me out like weeks ago. Y'all talk to women so disrespectfully. Y'all are hateful women. If I had a daughter and y'all talked to her like that, I would bash her.
Brian, I'm sure you saw this when Devin was like, if somebody called my daughter a bitch, I would be so mad. I was like, who's going to call your 2-year-old daughter a bitch, Devin? Like, you know, he's talking to Brittany up the HH room. That was so funny. I'm sorry. I digress.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not sure anyone was even called a bitch, though.
No, I don't think anybody has.
If they ever did. Okay.
But just you wait.
Yeah, just you wait. Okay, William Clark wants to know, Spencer, who do you think is most like you this year? Is there a Spencer in the house? Is it Donnie just for the sheer beardness?
No. You can't just say somebody's got facial hair that's me. You know, I don't really see... I don't know. I see a lot of personality traits. I see some combination of like Derek and Zach, but I was never my season. I was never in as good a position as Derek is. And I was never in as bad a position as Zach is now. So, but I'd say personality wise, I'm somewhere in the middle. Strategically, I played such an odd game. I don't think anybody's even, you know what I'm saying? Like I was one of those, oddball games. I was on the block all the time. I just had to endure the block and figure that social aspects out. So,
yeah. Okay. That's fair.
But personality wise, I'd say Derek and Zach, and that's just something I see. I don't know.
Okay. Let's talk about the Amazing Race know-it-all. Does Frankie have weird fetishes if he's turned on by Caleb's shaved head? Yeah. He did say that, you know, Caleb, it was strangely erotic, with getting the head shaved. And we're probably better off if we don't explore this too much further.
Sure.
Yeah. How about speaking of Caleb, how about this guy? Where, like 2 weeks ago, he was the target. He was the guy that was going home. And now is he even in the conversation? We put him in the final six, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Caleb is in a great spot right now. And, you know, it's really because of the, I've been saying for weeks now, I want 2 non-original members of the Bomb Squad to get HOH and make something happen. And what's happened is it's leveraged Caleb into a good position. If 2 Bomb Squatters had gotten, or, you know, really detonators had gotten it, they would have pushed Caleb out. I would have hated to have seen that. He's been able to ride this I'm distracted by Amber game for like 45 days, roughly, or like 40 days, roughly. And he's still playing this. Caleb's really loyal, but he's so lost. We'll deal with him later kind of a thing. And, Caleb has moved into jury very safely and maybe even deep into it, almost into a position. I mean, he's not proved to be any kind of a beast mode cowboy, whatever the hell that is. He hasn't won shit. But, to speak of. But, he could end up getting to a good position where he might be able to win his way pretty deep.
Brian, hypothetically, okay, let's say Caleb wins HOH in the double eviction. Who is Caleb putting on the block?
I think he would probably listen to Frankie. And so who would Frankie go after? I think he would nominate Victoria and Jocasta.
Okay, well, then I might be rooting.
And get rid of one of them.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
That might not be bad. I might be rooting for a Caleb HOH tomorrow night.
In fact, Frankie is talking about getting rid of Jocasta.
Okay. I got to do one more question, and then we got to talk about the live feeds. We got to talk about this. John Frutiger says, what is the count tonight on Fruit Loop and Dingus being said? I think I counted 8. Are we going over the top, Spencer, with Fruit Loop Dingus?
Yes, absolutely. I hate how every year there's these little expressions or phrases that seep out to the public consciousness from Big Brother House, and it drives me crazy. And let's, Fruit Loop Dingus, that was probably said at least 8 times. And, you know, as far as beast mode, can you retire that from all reality competition? Has that not been worn out? Beast mode? Opposite Worlds killed it. Gina Marie wouldn't shut up last year at beast mode. Caleb is obviously, it's going to have to be retired with his name on it. Yeah. He's just wallered in it.
Frank from Opposite Worlds gets it. And he won his show, and that's it.
Beast mode, bro.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I gotta get into the live feeds and talk about this stuff. All right. It's spoiler time. Live feeds. All right. Get out of here, you Fruit Loop dinguses who want to know the spoilers. Okay. All right. Brian.
Pluralizing dinguses. I think it would be dingai.
Dingai. Okay. Brian, is there any hope at this hour for Zach Rants in his pants?
It doesn't involve him being not evicted this week.
So the answer is there's no hope.
Not tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So, are what are we looking at as far as the vote goes? Are we going to see a unanimous vote? Is it 8-0 vote?
Yes, I believe we will see a unanimous vote. Hayden has told people that he's going to vote for Zach to stay, and I understand now that he wants to have it be a unanimous vote, so Frankie will be exposed to Zach as he's leaving.
Okay. And so Zach doesn't know?
He may know, but he's not saying. He may be in a bit of denial, but I don't know how much he actually knows. According to his diary rooms, he seems like he was a lot more worried than he was on the feeds.
Spencer, do you think we're going to have like an Adele thing, not the singer, but the guy from Big Brother Canada, where, you know, sometime around like 3 o'clock tomorrow, somebody's going to tell him he's going home?
I'm not sure. The reason being, there's no point in causing a problem. Zach's a loudmouth. He could be detrimental to everybody's game if he got wound up. He's not going into jury, I don't believe. So there's no point in trying to smooth anything out with him. I think best move is just to blindside him. That's kind of what I think. I don't think there's an advantage to giving him a heads up. I do think he's aware that there's a plan. The house is too small to not think that something weird is going on when conversations slightly change when you walk into a room and things like that. So I think Zach is kind of aware that people treat him different, but I haven't indicated anything for sure that says he knows.
Okay. Brian, who was Zach's best friend in the house this week? Who was the one person, if anybody, that Zach could be happy that they were his his buddy in the house this week?
Well, for a while it was Frankie until Frankie was turned against him, and then which didn't take much effort on Derek's part. And also, Caleb has hung out with Zach a whole lot, but then it didn't take Derek long to get Caleb turned against him either, with, you know, personal attacks about him being mean to women and stuff. So he has no friends in the Big Brother house, and he's not going to be happy with the way people treated him when he watches it again.
So, Spencer, do you feel like Derek is making the right call this week? Now allowed to talk about everything that's going on throughout the whole week. Do you feel like this is the right call? Because
yes.
I have some reservations.
Yeah. Okay. I have reservations also. I think it would be there'd be absolute reservations for me because of the, like what we said earlier about stay with detonators or going with the rationales. I think at this point in the game, it's better to move in with the rationales. They've got a better reach with the left outside of the house. So that's the best place for Cody and Derek to be. Derek is playing a good game by realizing that and allowing Christina and Frankie, who people are wanting to make targets, be targets, and not being in an alliance where you're going to screw yourself up by trying to protect them. You know, so yes, right now is the right, Zach is the right move. I think that Derek has and Cody both have something to worry about in Chicosta, but overall, for their game, transitioning from the detonators into the rationale, it's the right move, right time, and they need to keep moving forward and keep the targets focused on Christine and Frankie, which should be easy to do.
Brian, is that where Derek is going with this? Will Christine and Frankie be the next targets?
That is what Hayden told Derek, but I'm not sure. Derek didn't tell him that that's who his targets would be. He just kind of agreed with him. So I'm not sure that those are his targets, but he's agreeing with the rationales on that front.
I think we're going to get to a point here where I feel like Derek could be painted into a corner. Because let's say Zach goes home, and let's say they get Frankie out in the double eviction. Okay, so they go through with it. Hayden wins the first part of the HOH, and they put Frankie up, and Frankie goes home in the double eviction. And Zanky are the first two people out the door. Okay, and then even the next week, then they get Christine out. Okay, Derek wins HOH, they get Christine on the block, and she's the next one out. Isn't the next target in the house going to be Derek?
It depends on how things are played. It depends on things are played. I think that Caleb can be then used as a meat shield for Derek and Cody at that time. And honestly, and touch on what Brian said earlier, or just a second ago, is I do agree. Derek will keep Frankie safe over Christine because of Team America. Christine, I think, would be the next really hard target in the house. You may lose to Chicosta or somebody like that to an odd week. But I think that Christine will be kind of a hard target for a while. And I don't know. Sorry, I'm a crate on you. I don't know.
Brian, what are some of the other things that we should know about from the feeds in the last couple days?
Derek's flirting with this whole I'm a cop thing again, you know, telling people that he's a cop. Pretty
Why?
Much because they don't believe his life story. They don't believe he's the park and rec guy. Frankie actually said you could be a cop or something like that. And so he went into like, yeah, I could be a cop. Yeah, I'm probably a cop. And then, but it was all about, he would say, I'm also this and this and this and this, trying to throw all sorts of shade about it out there. Also, yeah. Victoria has been talking about Ariana Grande music and wanting to hear Ariana Grande music and talking about it over and over and over again. And I mean, you have to be a complete idiot not to put it together if you're actually talking about it. So I don't know if she may actually suspect something.
Speaking of Frankie and Christine, now is it fair to say that they're a pair, or is Christine and Frankie the new Zach and Frankie? And in that, do I mean that Christine thinks that she has a final two with Frankie and Frankie just goes with whoever?
Pretty much. But go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, yeah, I mean, Frankie's going to go to her, and for Frankie, she's just going to be just as good as Zach, but it won't be the same. He's not going to get the same treatment from her as he got from Zach. I don't know why he thinks it's a good idea.
Yeah. And who are their targets? If Christine and Frankie are a pair, who do they want to see out of the house next week? Spencer, do you know?
I think if Christine and Frankie could, you know.
Do they think the detonators is still good and they're just going to move on without Zach?
I think they're trying to trim the fat and say that, because that was, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but that's what the whole thing was to get Zach turned on so quickly, is, oh, he's said this and this and trying to get us detonators separated and trying to cause rift in the alliance. So I think that Frankie feels like trimming the fat with Zach is going to get the detonators stronger, which I don't think that's the case. I think that if Frankie and Christine had power, I think they'd probably go after Caleb with a Chicosta Victoria fallback plan. I don't think they'd try to go crazy and get out Cody or Derek or Donnie.
Okay. A couple other things about the week that's gone by. How about Donnie? Is he taking advantage of this situation with the potential breakup of the detonators, or is he just still sort of off on his own?
Brian,
yeah, he's just like off on his own. I mean, he's not really engaged in the game at all, other than having some conversations with Jocasta every once in a while. And to listen to those conversations, it's like not really having a conversation at all, because Jocasta talks absolutely zero game.
Yeah. Unless the game is pooping.
I mean, she may pray silently to God some game. Okay. But you know they are in alliance.
Spencer, did you think it was interesting that through tonight's episode, we, unless I missed it, did not get a vote for Team America this week?
Yeah, we didn't. And of all the times to have a save Zach, you know, maybe it was going to be too heavy-handed by production, they thought. But I don't know. I was kind of waiting for something. But no, Team America challenge. There might be something online that I haven't seen. I don't think so. But no advertised thing.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of crazy. I felt like we were due for something to try to save Zach. And I wonder if after last week's fiasco with Donnie not doing it, is Team America punished?
Yeah, I don't think they're punished. You know, maybe they didn't want Team America to turn down two tasks in a row, and that might be what ended up happening. And, maybe they're afraid they're going to mess up their twist if they keep putting things out there. They were too heavy-handed, could potentially mess up somebody's game. And just enough that they don't want to do the little task. I don't know. But they should have made the task more fun. This would have been time for a little fun mission. Maybe not save Zach, but if they're going to do it, they ought to do it.
Sticking with Team America. Okay. If it was not for America voting for somebody needs to make a crazy speech at a nomination ceremony, if it wasn't for that Team America task, would Zach be going home tomorrow night? Spencer?
If not, that absolutely did not help him at all. What Zach's problem was nominating Christine and Nicole with such acrimony. That's what sent him home. His explosiveness, I don't know how that's really perceived in the house. I think, honestly, he might think some of it's funnier than what it looks like on TV. And I don't think anybody sees Zach. I think they see him as, like, harmless. So, like, his outbursts are almost kind of comical, I think. But no, I think nominate Christine and Nicole, and then being a dumbass and saying, "Hey, put me in the block." It's just what's hardest game. He outsmarted himself, you know.
Brian, do you blame Team America for Zach going home?
I think there's blame enough to go around for everybody. I mean, not just like the Team America mission itself, but like the actual formation of a Team America alliance did not help Zach at all, because it ripped Frankie straight away from him. And so, I mean, you can't. But at the same time, Zach has screwed up so many times that you can't say that those aren't the reasons for him leaving too. So I think that, you know, there's reasons on both sides.
Is Team America functioning together in the game in any way anymore at this point, Spencer? Now, with if Derek has broken off and gone to be in Rationale, Frankie is doing his own thing, although Heath may think that he's still working with Derek, and Donnie isn't connected to either of those two guys. Is Team America working together on any level?
No, other than the tasks, I don't think so. I think that Derek will keep Frankie on the string as long as he can, and I think that Donnie, just like Brian said earlier, is not playing enough game. What happens really matters with him. Like, you can kind of tell him what he needs to know, and he'll do it. He's not going to mess. He's smart enough to shut up. And people that are smart enough to shut up, you can tell him who they need to vote out that week, and he'll do it. And that's kind of where Donnie's at. Donnie could get in a position where he has power, can make some moves later in the game. Yeah, that could happen. But he made a hit list out loud to, like, Hayden or somebody today, and Derek was fourth on it, which really surprised me. But I mean, if I thought Donnie was really on to Derek, how sharp he was, and if Donnie doesn't want to get Derek out until fourth on his hit list, like, that ain't bad. So that all their functioning is, I mean, like, Derek's the rudder, and it's about to become a lot more obvious once Frankie gets flapping in the wind with the demise of the detonators and Zach leaving.
Spencer, if I asked you to pick a winner right now and I took Derek off the board, who would your pick be at this hour?
Hayden. One name, Hayden or Nicole. I'd probably say Hayden just because of the athleticism possibly needed in the final HOH.
I think that's probably a good pick. All right, let's get into some questions here from the listeners of RHAP on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay, Zeke Smith wants to know, if when Zach is evicted on Thursday, what's the over-under on a twist bringing him back into the house? Spencer, is this within the realm of possibility?
No chance.
No chance.
So. No. If they were going to do something, they'd save him through a Team America. It's too easy to try something there. If they were to sequester him and bring him back, I mean, they ran that trick out last season with Chud coming back. America's seen that. They want something different. If anything, I see an odd number or an even number jury out of the House guest and then America's vote as far as the final thing. That would be as much as I can see. So no returning House guest, no chance for Zach coming back in my predictions.
Okay, so how many people are in the House right now? It's 11 people in the House?
11 people.
So it could be a two-person final two and a nine-person jury also.
Potentially, sure.
Potentially, yeah. Okay, we'll see. I'm not saying there's a 0% chance. I think that I would say that there's probably a 30% chance.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not good at counting, but people that are tell me that the numbers aren't lining up, that we've got an extra eviction, and I'm not sure why that is. Like I said, I can't count.
We added a week to the schedule this week.
Yeah, the week's been added. I mean, I was just about to say, I mean, Rob, they've done this Battle of the Block. They kind of changed the way, America watches Big Brother as far as the extra competition, or not extra necessarily, but no have-not comp and the Battle of the Block. Who knows? They can get the first four people out, and then those people pair off, and then they get to come back in, fight to get back in. It'd be wild if two people got to come back in.
Whoa.
I think that would be more a potential. They've already done that with bringing Judd back. That's the one person back. I mean, they've already done that. I don't see them doing it 2 years in a row. I mean, two people back. Yeah, Big Brother. It might be jumping the shark. I hope not. But it could really throw some a wrench in Derek's plan. Especially jury house comparing notes.
By my unofficial count, I think that two times in the last week, Big Brother contestants have referenced the 9 million viewers of Big Brother. Is production flattering themselves a little bit by including that in the show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I noticed that. The 9 million viewers. I don't know. What is the viewership?
It's about 6 million. It's about 6 million.
About 6 million, yeah. Yeah, I think Frankie says that 9 million thing. That's a figure he said in the House on the live feeds. I've heard him say it a couple times. And so that's just kind of – that's the accepted statistic. Yeah. You can't check facts. But okay. 9 million, yeah.
We'll go with that. Like, it's one thing if the House guests are wrong, but I feel like it's a little incorrect for the show to include the false information.
Don't you think they're adding the web views of the show off the website to the 6 point whatever and getting to the 9?
I think it's the same people. I don't think you should count the people twice.
And after darks, too. There's after darks. Maybe they're talking about views in general households. I don't know how else is going to work.
I don't know. Okay, let's do a couple more questions here. This is from Timothy Kyle Tucker, who says, if Zach is evicted Thursday, will he ever be brought back for another season? All right, forget about this season. Is Zach an all-star, Spencer?
Is Zach an all-star? Zach is an all-star personality. He's very entertaining. He's brought something very fresh to the show that people have enjoyed. Is he a great player? Absolutely not.
No.
Put him in a different scenario where all he has to do is be a loyal number, and maybe. But, who am I to say? Would I like to see him back? Sure. I'd love to see Zach back. He's fun. I'd see him go.
Bring Zach back. Let him be an all-star. What's the worst that happens? He's the first one out. It'll be a great week.
Exactly. That's how I feel about it.
Bring him back.
He brings something fun to the show.
Yeah. Brian, you want Zach to come back for all-stars?
Yeah, he's good TV.
Good TV. We like good TV. Spencer, you like good TV?
Love it.
Yeah, we love good TV. Okay.
Love it.
So this is from Corey Bananas, who wants to say, who's most likely to be evicted in a double eviction on Thursday? And would have a triple eviction ever be possible? I don't know about that. I don't think we need a triple eviction. Okay. Let's go around the panel and come up with who is the second person to get evicted tomorrow night. Brian, who is your prediction for our second evictee?
Christine.
Okay. And who's the HOH in that scenario?
Anybody but Derek. Anybody? He'll just make them do it.
Anybody but Derek. Is it all the rationale? Are they all anti-Christine? Not Cody, right?
Cody might. I don't know. Yeah, I think.
Cody,
I don't know. Yeah, Christine influenced them to get out of Zach, but they realize it's a good move and it'll blow up in her face, and so they don't care.
Okay, and the second part of the question, will Jocasta be sitting next to whoever the person who goes home on tomorrow night in the second eviction?
We are speaking to one block monster from last season, and Jocasta is the new block monster.
She's coming for you, Spencer.
She got a lot of catching up to do. I mean, nine times a lot. I mean,
but what she's at four, right?
What's that? She's a four. She is a four. I mean, if she breaks, it's good for her. You know what I'm saying? That's not.
I think this is like, I remember back during like 1998 when they were tracking like Mark McGwire's home runs versus Mickey Mantle. She's ahead of the pace.
She's doing pretty good. See, I wasn't nominated until the third week. So from the third week and then getting nine noms, that's pretty salty.
Now, is there an asterisk on Jocasta if she breaks the record? Because sometimes she was nominated for Battle of the Block and then she got off.
If your game is in jeopardy, you're on the block. I don't know. I don't know. If I'm not the person that decides the asterisks. I kind of think maybe, but I'm not the official scorekeeper. So
put an asterisk. Come on.
Yeah, put it there. Whoever runs the Wikipedia, do that.
Spencer, and who's your pick? Is Christine as well this person who's going to go home in the second part of the double eviction?
Yes, I see Christine being the person that needs to go home to help Derek's game the most, because then he'll have Frankie 100% in his pocket. And I think that pretty much anybody that gets HOH could easily put up Christine at this point, other than Frankie.
Okay, just to be different.
Like what Brian said, Derek would need to.
Just to be different, I'll say Frankie. Frankie will be the second person in the double eviction. But double eviction is going to be good. It's going to be it's going to be a mix-up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Spring Willis says, is there anyone who has nothing to worry about for double eviction? Has anyone covered all their bases and we can basically assume they are safe no matter what? Okay, let's come up with the list of people who are safe no matter what. Derek, is he safe no matter what tomorrow night?
Yes.
I would agree with that.
Cody, is Cody safe no matter what?
I would say Cody's safe no matter what.
Brian?
Yes.
Cosign?
I would agree.
Right, Nicole, is she safe no matter what?
No. Maybe votes to stay, but I think she could get nominated, depending on who won HOH.
Is there anybody that might say put Nicole and Hayden on the block?
I can see...
Frankie should do that.
That's what I was thinking. Frankie would be the person that would do it, but that's not the game he's playing. Right now, he would say, Jocasta Victoria, we'll see what happens after veto. You know what I'm saying? That's what Frankie would do.
And he said he wants Jocasta out.
Yeah, yeah.
Jocasta is not the concern. Stop it with worried about Jocasta.
I know.
I think that Frankie screwed up his own game. I didn't see the reason to get rid of Amber. I thought that was a waste of an HOH. What do you think, Spencer?
Yeah, totally. I think that Frankie has messed up his game. I think it's probably irreparable at this time. And, he's fighting an uphill battle. Seriously, he's going to have to get into a really bad spot where he loses every ally he's got and he's seen as weak to stay around. If he stays with a threat of any kind of influence in the house, he's going to get pushed out in the next few weeks. I have a feeling.
Is Donnie in the mix to go home tomorrow night?
No, I don't think Donnie would go home.
Okay. So it's either Christine or Frankie or one of the Jocasta-Victoria pair?
I would say so. Brian, do you see anything different happening?
I mean, what does Jocasta do? That's like the only wild card here, right? I mean, which is like is she going to win HOH? But what if she does?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I do think that she could put up she could put up Derek and Cody. I think that'd be crazy, but I think she might. I mean, I don't know. I don't even get into Jocasta's head. What's that?
She needs to throw it.
She won't
throw everything.
Jocasta's not, no offense to her, but she's not smart enough to throw it. She'd try to win it and then be forced to make a decision.
Yeah, she'd be like, oh, I won the HOH. Wait, let me see the pictures of my family now. And like, actually, Jocasta, you don't get to see pictures of your family during the double eviction. Like, no. What is the HOH going to be in the double eviction? It's some trivia, or is it some sort of random thing like, you know, whoever gets their ball closest to the hole?
It's obviously going to be something that can be played as quickly as possible. Yeah, trivia, crapshoot, something like that. We had that digging for bones thing, but it doesn't take very long. Because they're going to do the HOH and a veto.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a puzzle or something very quick.
Okay. All right, this is going to be exciting tomorrow night. Okay, of course, 10:15 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow night. Ian Terry will be with us to talk about everything that happened. The eviction of Zach plus one on a Thursday night double eviction. Let's take one from Shay Renee, who says, since the twist is going to be over this week, do you think it will change up the way people are nominating, in parentheses, strong and weak, and then weak and weak? Or do you think that the cast hasn't grasped that the game will have to change? I think this will be an interesting shakeup this week.
Yeah, I think going to normal Big Brother will be a little bit of an adjustment for them. There'll be a learning curve. Because this year, the way they've nominated people, they want to get stronger players to the middle. Now's the time to get stronger players out. There's all sorts of things. They just kind of have to rethink how they do and play normal, straight Big Brother.
Okay. Well, it'll be fun.
They'll be all right. They'll just do what Derek tells them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no need to worry. Just listen to Derek.
Okay. I mean, he's like voting out people that's on his side. He don't need the numbers at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, is it too early to compare Derek to a Dan Gysling? Because I feel like that I see similarities in those two games. Now, again, Derek has to win the game first, but I do think that him and Dan are somewhat similar.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the ability to manipulate is, like, profound with Derek. I mean, he can just do just about anything. He can convince just about anybody of anything. And if he has the time to do it, he can make it happen for sure.
Yeah. I think that maybe he could even be more influential than Dan. I think that Dan is more of a showman. What do you think, Brian?
What I'm saying
is that Dan, better TV. Dan is a little more into the theatrics, a little bit more invested in the viewer at home. Derek, though, I think might be a little bit, again, I think he's older than Dan. I'm not sure. I got to check on Derek's age. But I think that he might be a little better at the manipulation.
Yeah, well, I mean, Derek's not going to, he's going to act like is going to do whatever America wants, you know, like when he's throwing Donnie under the bus about not doing what America wants. But, I mean, if there was a Team America mission this week to save Zach, I think Derek would have been forced to decline it.
Yeah. What do you think, Spencer? What's your read on that?
On which aspect of it, Rob?
Talking through.
You're talking about Derek and Zach and Team America. He would have been forced to decline it if it would save Team America. And where Zach is with Dan Gysling in comparison to Dan Gysling?
Derek and Dan.
Yeah, no. I mean, Derek has played a good game. He's highly manipulative. I do think that he's more of a manipulator than Dan, but he's not a showman. Just like you said, Dan is more aware of the cameras, and not necessarily more aware. Derek's very aware of the cameras and the live feeders and that kind of thing, but he's not. He's dazzling them with his game. He's not dazzling them with his bullshit. And I think that Derek, if he plays this game all the way to the end, he'll be seen as a better winner than Dan Gysling, in my opinion. Maybe not better overall player, but overall dominance for a season. Yeah, absolutely. You couldn't deny him that. Derek has played a great game.
I think he's, if he wins the game, I think that would be really good because he's playing the Dan BB14 game, I think, more than the Dan BB10 game. And so if he could do the Dan BB14 and win, that would be an accomplishment.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think that if he gets to the end with this jury, they'll give it to him. I think that they will tip their hat and say, I don't think there's going to be bitterness here.
And that being said, before we continue this comparison any further, go win the game, Derek. All of this is if Derek wins the game. I don't misquote me, people. If Derek wins the game, can we compare him to Dan? Okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
This is coronation speak.
Yes. Okay. Matt wants to know, why didn't Nicole pressure Christine to use the veto on Jocasta? Was she too worried that it would affect her alliance with Christine if she were to backdoor Frankie? Why didn't Nicole push harder for Christine to use the veto?
I don't know why she didn't press harder necessarily. I think I think that the overall feel was that she wasn't trusting Christine. Christine's tainted, kind of backed away from any game involving her. If she uses it, shocker, with Frankie going up, and if she doesn't, Zach is just as good as Frankie. That's kind of what I get from it. Brian, can you give any more insight other than that?
I don't know why she didn't try to pressure. I saw them talking about it, and they feared that it would expose them a moderate amount, and they felt like she wasn't going to use it anyway, and to pressure her to do so would just drive her father away from them and a million different reasons. Then basically she just gave up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I feel like she was sort of like, would I love to get Frankie out? Yes. Would I be happy with Zach? Sure. I would not have a problem with that. Okay.
And then she writes an HOH blog saying that her and Zach are like besties or something.
Oh, man. Okay. Let's do one more question, and let's take it from Michael S., who says, should Nicole have tried to target Derek instead of working with him? I know it's early, and it would be risky, but it seems like a bad idea to give the best player in the house more control of the game. I just don't think that was an option. I think that they sort of had a working relationship from the week that they were both the HOH together. And I just think that, you know, Derek is on good terms with her. So I don't think that was sort of in her, the way she was thinking at all.
Yeah, absolutely. That wouldn't even on her mind. Derek is playing a good game, but that's a compliment to his game, is that nobody's really aware of how good of a game he is playing. And one thing that makes Derek a really good player, is that he's really good at planting seeds, and then he cultivates them, and then he harvests them when they're needed. He's good at planting, like even his bullshit deal with Victoria when he was HOH. Like, I feel like he wants to get her far, but Victoria would listen to him if she got some power, you know? So he's really good at cultivating relationships.
And one last thing, Brian, can you talk about the bomb squad? I'm sorry, the detonators sort of revealing themselves this week.
Yes, because they're worried about Zach exposing them after the vote. So Christine had the bright idea of going and exposing the bomb squad because they're worried about Zach exposing the bomb squad. So she just ran up to Nicole and told her while they're trying to get permission from the other guys, you know, to say, well, this is a good idea or whatever. So basically, they've outed themselves, and Zach don't even know it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, they did that kind of covertly, right, with the story of it's something Zach just put together. It's all bullshit alliance, that kind of stuff. Yeah, I mean, obviously, only said to protect Christine if detonators falls apart. That was just done to protect Christine with Nicole going forward. So, but that was kind of seen through.
Okay.
I feel like.
All right, and the last thing I want to talk about, just give me a prediction on Zach's exit from the house on Thursday night. Do we think, is it going to be explosive? Is he going to be upset? Is he going to be angry? Spencer, just give me real quick, give us the prediction on Zach's exit.
I think that he'll be pacified. He'll want to blow up. He'll be pacified. That 30 seconds there, 60 seconds that you get to walk out of the house, people are in shock. And they never blow up like you want them to. So just based on that, I'm going to say there's a chance he won't blow up like you want him to. But I think that Frankie and Caleb have already kind of got plans in place to muzzle him and get him out the door as fast as possible. So that will be more fun to watch than anything Zach will say.
Frankie said that he was thinking about, like, when Zach was being evicted, of telling him, whispering to him that Zach owes him his jury vote. So I'm not sure that's going to go over well.
I don't think that's going to go over well. Last I heard, he was going to go up to him and say, Zach, you've already effed up this stuff enough. Go out with class or something in those terms, you know, something like that.
Oh, boy.
So, and yeah.
It'll be very funny, I think, also to watch Zach with Julie Chen. I think that's going to be a memorable eviction interview, and I think it's also going to be a very memorable reaction to if Christine is like, Zach, you know, I looked something up in the dictionary and I looked up loser and there was a picture of you and Pow Pow holding hands and something like that. And I just see him like, listen, Christine. So it'll be very, very fun. And I hope that they don't shortchange his interview on Thursday night's show because of the double eviction.
I'm sure they will.
And I hope he doesn't cuss so they drop the sound out.
Yes. It'll be a very exciting night. So, all right, our Big Brother coverage continues Thursday night, 10:15 p.m., live after the double eviction. Ian Terry will be here. It'll be great. just as this was with Spencer. Fantastic job, sir.
I enjoyed it, man. I really appreciate you having me.
Yes, and so please come back anytime. We'll figure out what the logistics are to not get you blocked from Google Hangouts. And yeah, this was great. All right.
Thanks, man. I really enjoyed it.
Follow at Spencer B. Clausen on Twitter if you don't already. That I mean, you're watching the live feeds and talking about this, you know, all the time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. 99% of my tweets are Big Brother related live feeds. I live tweet near the shows all the time and just answer fan questions about, you know, scenarios and things like that.
What's the other 1%?
Excuse me?
What's the other 1%?
The other 1%, I read comic books and tweet about comic books sometimes.
Oh.
Books I like, art I like, different writers. And then I tweet about American Ninja Warrior and very rarely, but sometimes, Last Comic Standing. Bummed Out Monroe Martin is no longer hanging tight.
Oh, that was your guy? Yeah, we podcasted about that.
Oh, man, the thing is, for a show, the 250K is not that big a deal. I mean, his backstory with the growing up foster care.
Foster kid.
And his kind of, it's kind of Bernie Mac hanging with Mr. Cooper type sitcom. I was going to watch. I was already trying to set my DVR.
Spencer,
so I don't think
I'm a big Rodman guy.
See, I'm not. Hey, have you ever noticed that when you go out to your car and you don't have your keys in your pocket, you got to go look for your keys? Like, that's all the jokes are. They're just like saying goofy things in a funny way. And Joe Mackey falls out of character too much for me. You know, he slips. Joe Mackey slips in his character a lot. And I don't like that. He has some great jokes. That one that he beat Monroe Martin with the Thomas Jefferson joke,
yes,
about Barack Obama.
Yes.
I mean, how fucking perfect, especially when you got Roseanne on the judging panel who ran for president. I mean, like, he's brilliant. Joe Mackey's brilliant. But I think he's the man. I don't know. He might be the man to beat. Rodman's doing good. I'm not a Rodman fan.
Yeah. Okay. Two episodes left of Last Comic Standing. We'll be talking about that on the next two Fridays on our Last Comic Standing podcast. All right. So a lot to do. If you're a fan of The Bachelor in Paradise, also check out on reality TV wrap-ups. Amy and Haley are back to cover all of that. You can listen to our Bachelor in Paradise recap podcast on robiswebsite.com or subscribe to the wrap-ups feed at robhasawebsite.com/rahapups. That's RHAPUPS. We will see you guys live on Thursday night after the double eviction. Have a great night, everybody, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye.